Thank you very much indeed. I have here with me three important documents. They remind me of my status, and two of them confirm my identity. The first one is my passport. This gives me the right to move between one country and another. It's my guaranteed right of entry until 2024. The second one is my driving license. This means I'm entitled to drive a car anywhere in the EU until 2026. The final document is a parking ticket. Actually, there's good news here. In fact, there are two pieces of good news on this tiny ticket. The first is that there is nothing to pay. Here it is. Fee paid, £0.00. Why? Because I'm a member of the National Trust. Also says, in large capital letters, valid until closing time. Now, it's this last document which is the most important for my purposes today, but keep all three in your minds, the passport, the driving licence, and the parking ticket. And I will explain their significance. This is the second in our series, sermon in our series, in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. If you haven't got it in front of you, it's page 1160. Page 1160 in the church Bibles. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're starting today at verse 12. 2 Corinthians 4, and it's verse 12. Now, Paul's relationships with the Corinthians cover a period of about 7 years. The two surviving Corinthian letters are amongst the oldest documents in the New Testament, compiled about 25 years after the crucifixion. Having talked about treasures in jars of clay, Paul tells us now why he's so passionate about preaching the gospel. Firstly, he has the same spirit of faith as the writer of Psalm 116, who testified to God's deliverance of him from death. For Paul, it was a question of conviction, a conviction that compelled him to speak out, even when it was not to his advantage to do so. What was his conviction? It was the certainty that he who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us. He grounds his faith in the God who raised Jesus from death to new life and who will raise Paul with the Corinthians to himself in heaven. The resurrection of Jesus is one of the central truths of Christianity. And Paul devotes the whole of chapter 15 in his first letter to this topic. I commend it to you. It is because of this sure knowledge that Jesus rose from the dead that we can say in the words of the Creed, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. A few years ago, when a group of six of us from St. Mary's used to travel to Italy, a favourite spot of mine was Orvieto Cathedral. On the facade of the impressive west front is a splendid marble carving showing hundreds of people at the Last Judgment. One particular sculpture caught my eye. It was one of one individual being escorted into the presence of God by two angels. Can you imagine what that must be like? I shall never forget the look of pure ecstasy on that individual's face and the obvious delight of the angels as well. What is our passport, our right of entry to a place like that? As the song goes, only through grace can we enter, only through grace can we stand, not by our human endeavour, but by the blood of the Lamb. This is what we celebrated earlier when we had communion together. The one who created us, who sent his Son to die for us and thus redeemed us, is the one who has granted us access into his presence. And here's my parking ticket to remind me that the price has been paid in full. Paul's aim was to see more and more people come to know Jesus, to come into the presence of God. But notice what his ultimate motivation is. It is the glory of God. How far do we share his zeal, his enthusiasm, his passion to share the gospel? Can we say with Paul, "I believe, therefore I have spoken"? Just as my driving license entitles me to drive throughout the EU, so Jesus has commanded us to preach the gospel to all nations, beginning with Burraheath and Nork and Romania, Kenya and Nepal, in fact, to the ends of the earth. This is quite a daunting prospect, even extending our ministry to a new united parish. But, says Paul, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, or as the message puts it, even though on the outside it looks as though everything is falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his enfolding grace. You are valid until closing time. Your inner life, your heart, soul, everything that is the essential, unique you, is of worth until your dying day. In Psalm 92 are these words: "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree, planted in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green." I know some of you were exploring this theme with Joe Hawkins just yesterday. One of my motives for undertaking this lay reader's course was inspired by the author of this book, Finishing Our Course with Joy. The author is J.I. Packer, influential international speaker, now 91 years old. And he's a living example of the kind of disciple who will go on right until closing time. And in this book, subtitled Aging with Hope, he urges all of us to go on being inwardly renewed, to keep going until our own closing time. So we can say, like Paul, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Packer points to four images of the Christian race. Here he is. First, you need clear-headed orientation towards the goal. In other words, you run to win. Second, you need purposeful planning. You think out how you should win the race. Third, resolute concentration. You put everything else as secondary to your training. And fourth, you run flat out, putting everything into what you're doing in a final burst. How do we do this? Passports and driving licenses need renewing every so often, but God renews us daily through his Holy Spirit. And how we need it. We need to be transformed by the renewal of our minds, as Paul reminded the Christians in Rome. We need to be strengthened in our hearts, since we are all subject to fears, imaginations, and discouragements. We need to be strengthened also in our wills. Therefore, be on your watch against the lies of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and resist the temptation to simply go with the flow, please yourself and ignore the needs of others. In tempting us to relax, to wind down, after all, you're entitled to it, Satan undermines, diminishes, and neutralizes our discipleship, reducing us from laborers in Christ's kingdom to sympathetic spectators. Paul refers to his challenges as light and momentary troubles. Surely an incredible understatement. Problems and human limitations actually have several benefits. They remind us of Christ's suffering for us. They keep us from pride. They cause us to look beyond this brief life. They prove our faith to others. And they give God the opportunity to demonstrate his power. He turns our weaknesses into his opportunities, as the song goes. So what does all this achieve? The Greek word actually for achieve here means to work out. Paul pictures the process of daily spiritual renewal in terms of a workout in the gym. It takes months of working out to build up the muscles of the body. In much the same way, suffering in the Christian life produces muscles that become a permanent part of our spiritual physique. Just as athletes concentrate on the reward for our faith and the joy that lasts forever, they ignore their discomfort. Suffering does its job of producing glory as long as we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. As we move into a new era as a united parish, let's all continue the good work together so that more and more people might find the grace of God and bring him greater glory. Now, in the first verse of chapter 5, Paul the tent maker now proclaims the certainty of physical resurrection and transformation. And if you want to, you can go and read the whole of that chapter, even though it's not in the lectionary. He's talking about our new heavenly bodies. He's already written extensively in his first chapter, chapter 15 in 1 Corinthians, about how because Jesus was raised, we shall be raised also. Our new heavenly dwelling, our upgraded accommodation in our resurrection body. Just before his death, Jesus told his disciples, "In my Father's house are many rooms," or many mansions, as one translation puts it. "If it were not so, I would have not have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am." This was a subject I know my late father used to love to preach. Father-in-law used to love to preach on. So, remember these things. Next time you see your driving license, your passport, and even a parking ticket. Human life, indeed, is like a tent, being temporary and vulnerable. These documents all have expiry dates. Although we don't like to talk about it, so do we. But Paul reminds us that because Christ has won the victory over death, we have eternal life. So we can say with Paul, we do not lose heart. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for rising again from the dead for us. Help us to keep our troubles into perspective and to be renewed inwardly, day by day, strengthened by the power of your Holy Spirit, for your glory. Amen.